Good morning. It is good to see you all. Today we are having Mission Sunday, our Outreach Sunday, which is usually the second Sunday in second weekend, I guess, in November. So it's a little bit later this year for that reason. I'm looking forward to everything that Tyler and the team has in store for us today. But when I think of outreach, when I think of, mission for Mennonites, I think of one thing, and that's Mennonites are really good and have always been really good at finding the cracks in society and finding ways to patch them and fill them and work with God in redeeming them. Whenever they see some sort of injustice, whether small or big, that is being overlooked by the larger society, Mennonites always try to find a way to fill that. And I could tell story after story, things like MCC, things like fair trade. They're the first in the fair trade, things like mental health during World War II. All of these instances were places where Mennonites saw something that was missing and then did what they could to bring light to it and bring change to it. And I think that's something that our legacy has shown time and time again that we're good at. And so I don't know what that means for us. I don't know what that means for where we're headed. I'm excited to see where the discussion goes. But that's what I think about in our legacy of what it means to be a people of peace and to serve our neighbors and our world. And so I'm looking forward to the discussion today, and I'm glad that we are doing this together. This morning, as we begin our worship, let's begin with prayer. God of peace, as we gather for worship this morning, we pray for your presence here and now among us. We thank you for this community of faith, where we listen to the words inspired by your message of love, where we share our lives with our brothers and our sisters, where we come to learn about compassion, where we live into your hope, where we can be together in peace. God, all around us, we see growing division between people. Aggression and violence are becoming normalized, both on social media and on the streets. This morning, we need to see you. We need you so that we can discern again how you are calling us to enact your peace, your justice, and love for this world and for our community. Be with us as we worship and grant us your grace. Amen.
Good morning. For call to worship this morning, I'm going to share my screen and hope you all can see it. This is from Sing the Story, and I will speak both the leader and the people part, but I invite you in your respective homes to join in the people part as you are able. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love, neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know. Strangers, sojourners, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come. Let us worship together. Amen.
For the scripture reading today, I'll be reading from Isaiah, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. First from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 19. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Moving to Luke 6, verses 32 to 36. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And now 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And yet, if I speak in tongues of the men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where are the prophecies? They will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Good morning, kids. It is on the screen and see you hidden among your parents, squeezing in there or creating something beautiful while you're doing it, while you're listening, I hope, but all kinds of things. But I do miss seeing you so much in church. I miss seeing you do your art or singing or playing with some kind of thing, which I've never figured out what Shane is playing with, but all kinds of things that you keep doing. You know, when I was a kid, about the age of some of you who are learning to read, I would get very frustrated with reading. And my teacher would get very frustrated with me because I would ask such questions as, well, why does the word cow start with a K instead of a C? And she would look at me and just say, cow, just say cow, Lois Ann. But I would say, well, why isn't it something like cow, So we could just add the moo to it, and therefore we wouldn't need the word moo. She was a frustrated teacher, and I didn't help any. But later on, I was told that my love for words is about etymology. Now, that word was a little big for me at the time, but etymology, that it was a knowledge of words, their where they came from, what they mean, how those words have changed over time. And I really grew to appreciate that. And the older I get, which is moving along, I appreciate those words, I appreciate words in general even more. But all that said, that brings me to a word that we're going to hear, we have heard, and we're going to hear a lot today. It's the word outreach. Those are two strange words to me that have always been put together, outreach. So when I looked at the etymology of those words, out is beyond. Beyond. Reach is to stretch. Stretch harder, stretch longer. You kids are so lucky that you're in a church where outreach is so important. What a great lesson for us all to learn, to go beyond where our commonplace is, beyond our comfort zone, and reach. Stretch our arms out to help, to love, to show God's love. Because if you think about it, it's really easy to do outreach for people with whom we're comfortable. It's not so easy sometimes to have outreach, to reach out for those who may be in some way different from us. It may be that we don't really agree with all they do or how they do things or whatever. But if you've listened to the scripture, and if you listen to Ryan's early words and what Tyler is going to say, we are really called to reach out beyond our bounds to help those who are simply in need. And it isn't always food. It isn't always money. It's often love, listening, understanding, unconditional love. So as you move through the week, as I move through the week, I hope we can all remember outreach. To reach, to stretch ourselves out and go far, far beyond what's easy for us in terms of helping others and in terms of loving others. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for words. There are lots of ways that we can express your love, but words often make it much easier. Guide us as we reach out beyond our comfort zones to help those who have needs that may make us uncomfortable, but we know you are calling us to reach out, to stretch beyond. Amen.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Good to see you. This is Tyler. I'm going to keep my video off because when I'm working the keyboard, as many of you know, my hands look monstrous and can be a little distracting. But we have the outreach team has been preparing for this Sunday for a couple months now, actually, and I put some thought into that survey. And reached out to you all for ideas on that survey, and then got some really great input from many of you, which will help kind of provide some data to help us kind of discern You know, what's that outreach that we're being called to? Wanted to just acknowledge and just maybe an explanation on the scriptures from my perspective. Not going to do any sort of a sermon, but just the Isaiah scripture, you know, urging us to acknowledge the good things that God has done, and also see the new thing that He's doing in our midst, and you know, to reach for that, to yearn for that, to ask questions about where is that happening, and you know, being pulled forward by that, you know, ethic of Jesus, you know, is presented in Luke. Really a radical statement that, you know, when we've seen it lived out in our midst has been amazing. My kids just read through some of the story about Martin Luther King Jr. And, you know, what an amazing story that is. We need more examples like that in our world. Because it is such a radical and profound ethic that we're called to. And then also with that discussion on love in 1 Corinthians, what I find comforting there is that resting in the acknowledgement that we're kind of working, we don't know, we don't have certainty. And when we start to think that we are certain about the way forward, you know, it might be good to be a little cautious and to cover everything that we do with love, with that that pursuit of that. So wanted to just with that framing, just look through kind of what we've been doing over the last 12 months, and maybe more importantly, explore together kind of what the future may hold for us. So last year, here's a areas that we supported, tasks that we did. We were, you know, as always, strongly connected to Family Promise, Second Chance Center, both of which I'll talk more in detail. We remain connected to the Action Center. We do regular children's offerings. You know, just a quick story, the Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp, you know, that was a great idea generated by I think Connie in the meeting, and you know, just a good reminder of all the good that place has done for many folks in our congregation, and you know, an organization in need due to COVID. This is probably actually more like 14 months ago. I realized that I did go ahead and include the Lutheran Immigration Refugee Service, the Refugee Sunday we did, I think it was September of 2019. And also the seed bank, which was the first year for that. So Second Chance Center, the pillow drive at the start of the year raised over $2,000 to help furnish their transitional housing facility. As well as over 150 backpacks, which I was, you know, personally, I didn't have a whole lot of bandwidth to give to the backpack drive. And I was really encouraged by the, you know, Gretchen and her team stepping up, and as well as other folks in the congregation within the outreach team, just to really help continue to increase this every year, and in spite of the pandemic. So that was a big encouragement for me, and I hope you all were proud of that. So Family Promise was another area of I would say focus over the last 12 months, largely due to COVID. Volunteer opportunities were limited, but we did a really great job just raising funds, and you know, over $7,000 to support them this year, as well as receive feedback from the congregation that this is an area that we'd like to continue supporting. through the pandemic and what may be kind of more challenging economic realities. So those, I think, were the two things that stood out to me, not all inclusive, but what we did. But so now just to turn quickly to what's coming next. So I worked with outreach team, put together that survey, and here's some of those results. So we were asked to check three boxes of, you know, just to try to discern and ask you all to prioritize. And just an FYI, I'm happy, and I probably will go ahead and share the survey results, keeping it confidential, who said what, that sort of thing. But I won't have time to do justice to the responses that I got. But what stood out to me, I guess, here was the, you know, racial justice here in 2020. That is definitely top of mind, and I will admit to that being more important to me this year than in prior years, just because of current events. Homeless outreach, which is kind of jives with our commitment to family promise, and environmental justice was something that stood out to me. And just as a question, wondering if our current outreach agenda and projects kind of captures that passion. And we asked, what ideas do we have as a community that we can do to work towards racial justice? Here were just kind of me trying to parse down the good ideas that I saw. You know, definitely leveraging kind of existing relationships with Second Chance Center as getting some specific dialogue with them on racial injustice and how they're working towards that and how we can partner with them. You know, further book study. And I would say that there was other ideas just about kind of our development as a people, you know, study and reflection, trainings through the Conflict Center, pulpit swap or other intentional sharing with Black American congregation, land acknowledgement, which I did a little digging on that, and that seemed like an interesting idea, more focused on kind of indigenous rights and the kind of the tying us as a people to this land, acknowledging kind of the history of the land and maybe some of the injustice that transpire to make it ours. So there's an idea about the Race Talk University. And, you know, again, just a lot of listening and reflection to inform our engagement. Another question was areas of pain in the world we'd like to see the church more actively working towards wholeness. Again, this was what you see on the screen doesn't do justice to the thoughtfulness of the responses, but, you know, immigration was underlined, and in particular, the kind of harsh and inhumane practice of detaining people and how that's done. Mental health, you know, refugees and maybe a searching for a kind of hands-on way to work in that arena on a regular, you know, scheduled basis. And there was some discussion about just kind of our culture and the consumerism, and how we maybe can, you know, present and live out an alternative to kind of this immoral capitalism that we are kind of embedded in and, you know, I don't want to say infected by, but there's some of that too. Political dialogue and environmental justice. So this was a little bit, admittedly, an add-on as kind of a conversation with an outreach team was, you know, is there a kind of cross-cultural opportunity that we could be exploring? you know, definitely it seems like looking at these results, there is openness. I don't know if I put the actual responses here. I did not. So a lot of the responses on this really urged us to consider. So again, this question is really focused on Anabaptist communities, and the a lot of the responses urged us broader than that. And even tying it back to the racial justice question. That was something that I think I noticed, is there does seem to be openness for a kind of cross-cultural intentional sharing, but maybe, you know, as something to explore, something closer to home, not needing to connect with an Anabaptist church in, you know, South America, but maybe maybe just a church here in Denver, and so we can talk more on that. But so I've talked a lot, and I you know, again, I think I've combed through these answers and spent some time with them, and really felt like they were a gift from the people that took the time to you know, write their, you know, paragraph or two on the, especially the more open-ended questions. And I like I said, I will share that with you all, but I guess what I want to do is just open it up to for some discussion on maybe what do we notice? And I'm actually going to. So I stopped sharing. So just curious, looking through that. Any thoughts, or I don't say conclusions, that people would draw, or things you notice, things you would want to highlight?
This is Rhoda, and I just want to say that for a small congregation like ours, I am very impressed with the kind of outreach that we do that we do accomplish, and the survey reflects that we have lots of people that are very interested and want to pursue more more ways that we can do this outreach, and I'm very encouraged as I looked at the. At your survey and the kind of responses that you got, I am just extremely encouraged. And as you all know, I go to a lot of congregations, and I'm finding that our congregation is stellar when it comes to these kind of outreach opportunities that we provide for our congregation. And we're very much looking outward, and I appreciate that immensely.
Tyler, I just wanted to say thanks to the outreach team to you and the outreach team for administering the survey. I think it provides a lot of good insights. And I had to join a little bit late. I was curious whether you gained any more insights from the survey about the congregation's ongoing commitment to family promise.
Yeah. I think we did. So I'll give you a two-part answer. The first part was in probably mid-September. We put a question out there to the church about, you know, looking at next year, what sort of commitment. And I would say we got a not an overwhelmingly strong support for Family Promise, but a pretty strong support. So And that's just kind of a candid response there. It wasn't like everybody's saying yes, 100%. Let's support them, as much as we can. It was more, yeah, we're willing to continue to give support. And then kind of tying that response with this survey where homeless outreach was the second highest. So I think, yeah, there is definitely continued support for homeless outreach and for Family Promise as that homeless outreach. Does that give a nuanced answer? Because I don't think it was like, yes, this is the cause that defines our church, but I think it's a cause that there's wide support for.
Yeah. No, that's helpful, Tyler. And I guess that's not very surprising to me, especially given that this is such a weird year with Family Promise. I mean, we just haven't been able to host as we have in the past. And Family Promise itself has had to really adapt to a new model in a way. And so I was just curious about that. You know, every number of years, I think it's helpful for us to re-examine our commitment to Family Promise. We did this, 8 or 10 years ago, I think also. And, we went into the conversation saying, well, if we don't support Family Promise, we will support something. And, you know, the support was pretty overwhelming for Family Promise. But I have a feeling this year folks didn't know quite what to put, or I was struggling with it myself because it wasn't quite clear what we mean by supporting Family Promise since we haven't been able to help in our traditional ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is John. On that note, the work that we've been doing with Family Promise is very much tied to our partnership with Lakewood Christian Church, because clearly we don't have the facilities to do the actual hosting. Do we have a sense of what they are thinking going forward? Because it seemed to me like their resources are pretty stretched with respect to their participation.
Yeah, I'll answer that, and then maybe Ryan or Andy, if additional info, you can fill in the gaps. But where we've left it with them is, yes, we definitely don't want to make any abrupt changes, which not supporting Family Promise would be an abrupt change during the pandemic. So there is a sense of a commitment to support while we can, and an acknowledgement from them that they probably need to table their conversation until the pandemic kind of resolves, whatever that might mean, but that they probably need to reexamine that the feasibility of their commitment. So I think for us, we're in a similar position where we are tied to them specifically with Family Promise and that volunteer opportunity. But also there may be other doors that would open with Family Promise or with other organizations like that.
Yeah, to add a little bit onto that, I know Family Promise or Lakewood Christian is in very much the same boat as us, with a lot of people at high risk categories. Their numbers of volunteers are not, there aren't too many at this point. I think the highest volunteers are most frequent volunteers are ones that would be reluctant to do it during this time. And I know Family Promise is looking at shifting the way they are hosting guests. They do have, I haven't actually heard from them recently, but a permanent housing location set up, but they are still looking for volunteers to help support and provide meals, things like that. So that's something we could do in the future, but I've also, from the feedback I've gotten, it seems like there is some reluctance to participate in that as well. This time is just a very unpredictable time. People aren't really willing to quite get out there in the same way.
and I'm not 100% positive, but there's a chance that Family Promise could shift their priorities a little bit after this. So that's a sense that we have to figure out too. I know in Colorado Springs, they've moved away from congregations hosting in the last few years, and now they have some sort of permanent place where congregations come in and do the work, but it's not the hosting aspect. And so I don't know if they're going to follow that model. I think there's some explorations of that model as well. So that might make things easier too for us. And so who knows? So we're going to have to see how this thing plays out, I think, post-pandemic a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thanks.
I'll say, just give a another minute or two for any other kind of comments or discussion points, and then I do have just a closing thought or two.
Just a little side info: Second Chance Center is starting to expand their focus on the homeless as well. Excuse me. We're in the very beginning stages of trying to build another apartment complex like PATH is. Plus, we're looking at helping find housing for homeless people. Like I said, it's just in the beginning stages, but that's something to think about as well.
Dave, would there be volunteer opportunities related to that?
Tons.
Any chance that it would be more centrally located, or will it still be all in Aurora?
No, actually, we're looking to expand into the Denver metro area as well, the actual boundaries of Denver. We had talked about going as far over as Lakewood, but there's been some pushback evidently from Lakewood. So
that's not surprising.
No, not surprising at all, considering who we are.
So Dave, do you know if when they talk about this for homeless people, are they talking families of homeless or individuals?
Dave, you're muted.
Got it. It's actually been a mixture of both.
Oh, okay.
Probably the major focus is on the single individual homeless, but like in PATH, we have about half of it's families. So it's going both ways.
Okay, thank you.
I was excited to see so much interest in racial justice. I really enjoyed being part of Rhoda's group. And I had an interesting conversation with someone that Lois, Ann, and Kim connected me with in Fort Collins. He's a professor, and his focus is on storytelling, healing through storytelling. And I didn't really know where to begin with him. I think I mostly was just looking for action steps to move forward, because I love the conversations that we're having with our racial justice group, but I'd love for us to move forward somehow. And I think where he and I kind of, where our conversation led to, was a really simple step of just finding another congregation that we can connect to an African-American community, and building those relationships, and that eventually that might lead to relationships that are deep enough to facilitate some of this storytelling. It's kind of a workshop model that he has, a method. And I just got really excited talking to him and thinking, maybe this is years down the road, especially during COVID. I can't envision attending another congregation via Zoom. That seems really difficult to build relationships that way, but maybe it's a place to start. But if others want to start thinking in that same direction, let's do it. If somebody wants to join and kind of, research that a little bit and see, are there communities out there that are interested in that, partnering with us? Maybe it's a worship. I know I saw in the survey a pulpit swap. I don't know if that's the same thing. I want more than just a pastor that comes to us. I want to attend an African-American service, and I want them to attend ours. And I want those conversations that happen before and afterwards. And maybe Maybe there's service projects down the line. Maybe we're doing Family Promise together. Maybe we're having barbecues. But building relationships to broaden our perspective, to learn from them, not to help them, not as a charity, not, you know, this person and I were sharing, commiserating about how we can have such good intentions and sometimes do the wrong thing. And so how do we do the right thing? And he was confident that seeking out relationship could only be good. So maybe, you know, I'd just encourage us to think in those directions, to think along those lines.
I'd like to echo what Holly said. This is Claire, by the way. One thing that I found really interesting about coming to a Mennonite college is that I mean, because of the makeup of our congregation, there hasn't always been a youth group for me to be involved with. But coming to a Mennonite college, I get to hear so many different perspectives about what being Mennonite means in this generation for my peers. And racial justice and environmental concerns, which were some of our top responses to the survey, are definitely topics that we talk about a lot in my house and my classes. So I would affirm that those are very important to people of my generation.
Thanks, Claire. That's really helpful. And I also wanted to just build off of what Holly said, that I think the key is building relationship. And that's the thing I kind of struggle with, is how, without it feeling artificial or forced, how to build those relationships maybe with another congregation. And I would totally agree. I think that's the way that we can come to understand each other more, is through relationship. It's just, the trick is figuring out how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like maybe at first it is forced because you don't know each other, right? I mean, I don't have anybody, well, I mean, certainly right now in my daily life, I think I just have to push. I mean, I live in Lakewood. It's the suburbs. Like, you gotta just push beyond your boundaries, I guess. I don't know.
Well, just to kind of put a little bit of a wrapping on this for us. So the outreach team is going to be reviewing this and talking more about this at our you know, next meeting. And what I don't want is for the outreach team can help provide some leadership, and we'd love to do that. But what we're ultimately going to be, we're going to be most effective in a supportive role. And what I mean by that is, if there is a group of people that are interested in pursuing one of these areas, let's start a dialogue and let's start brainstorming, you know, specific to that idea of how does one go about that. I would just circle back and say, let's look at the answers that we got. And one of those was, you know, maybe Hassan Latif knows somebody and could help provide some guidance for us. Just start tapping into our existing groups, existing outreaches, with a little bit more intention and purpose, with, you know, humility. But I think what I don't want to do is have today be spent looking at this big mountain. Yeah, how are we going to climb that? And have the conversation end there. So we, as an outreach team, we are wanting to be supportive and wanting to join you in this, the next steps. But ultimately it's gonna take folks that are passionate about exploring this together to kind of self-organize, I think. So again, just appreciate everybody's thoughtful time here today and thoughtful responses to the survey. Look forward to, you know, this next year, whatever that can look like. And I'm really happy to be on this journey with you all.
Thank you so much, Brenda, for putting that together. That was really a beautiful song. I think, you know, when we look at spending so much time in this virtual environment, I feel like, Brenda, you've really embraced being creative and innovative and getting us all involved. And so we really appreciate that. Thank you. We've come to the time in our service where we are going to pray for over our tithes and offerings. And I'm feeling inspired this morning with all the discussion that we've had about ways that we as a congregation have been giving, where we want to continue to give, looking in new ways of giving and what that looks like even, you know, in the midst of a pandemic and not being able to be in community together as we're used to. So just really inspired by all of the ideas and discussion this morning. Let's come together and pray over our tithes and offerings this week and the many ways that we give. God, you have shown us the meaning of generosity in the rich diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. You have abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, to share our love and material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. In your name we pray, amen. Okay. Ryan, if you'd lead us in a pastoral prayer.
Yeah, absolutely, let's pray. Gracious God, you who created this universe as your work of art, you who invite us to add to its beauty, you who gave us Jesus when we defaced this perfect tapestry so that we could be inspired again by your beauty and find new ways of participating with you in your healing and hope. Today we give thanks that you invite us to work with you in redeeming all the cracks that exist around us, to find new ways of enacting your wholeness and bringing it to the lives of our neighbors, and to restore the systems which are broken, which are no longer helping our society. Sometimes it's hard to know where to begin. What difference can we really make? Can we really do something, anything that will begin to unravel these injustices which ensnare our world? This morning we pray, make your church rich as you are rich, in compassion and mercy, in wisdom and grace. Make your people poor as you are poor, in sharing the calamity of those who endure injustice and knowing the pain of all who live with the world's anger. Take away the mask of poverty that all may see with joy the riches of those the world calls poor, and remove the mask of wealth that all may see the love which those see with love the poverty of those the world calls rich. Hasten the day when your gentle mercy triumphs over the world's harsh judgment, and all find a place at the feast of your kingdom. Lastly, Lord, we pray for ourselves. There is so much that is broken, so much pain, so much disillusion in our lives and our world. This moment, we find ourselves at a new height in this pandemic. So many sick, so many dying alone. Our healthcare workers are drained. This burden which we've asked them to bear these past 8 months is just too much. It's not fair and it's not right. And still so many of us cannot see the loved ones who need us. Be with our loved ones who are facing illness, isolation, depression, anxiety, and fear. Be with those among us who are grieving the loss of friends and family members. Be with those families who are embracing new life and are celebrating the goodness and beauty that this life has to offer. And be with us as we continue to do what is right, to love our neighbors, to love ourselves, even when it is so draining to do so. Amen. Go into this world, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow, and share the good news of Jesus. Go with God's Spirit to witness to a world in need of healing and hope. Amen. And go in peace.